Okay, go ahead.
Live.
Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church. On this episode of Church, we are going to have a Bible study in the end of Mark.
Woo!
Are we going to actually read more than 8 verses in Mark?
Yeah,
who knows? Find out on the next episode. Stay tuned.
Can we just read all the way to the end? Every time? Look how much. We don't have very much.
You forgot. This is all simulation.
Oh, yeah. We were all created by a computer.
We're all AI.
We're all AI. So if you're listening on podcasts, you know, this was created just for you. We're all part of a simulation.
Did you
use
Pringles, too?
I love you.
Huh?
Yes, they are in the fridge.
Oh, it's open.
Yeah, it's on the
box. Jocelyn says, blessed evening to everyone. Kathy said, good evening, everyone. Hello, Jocelyn.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi,
Kathy. Hi,
Jocelyn.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm here.
Well, I think Allie and...
That's I love you.
Our announcements.
That's I love you.
Yes.
Carol.
Be wild to
and
get used to it.
My mother
and
remember that Carol Burnett show? She always said, I love you to her mom by pulling her earring. Walk out that
mother.
I have no ideas, please.
All right, so just for your guys' information, there is no work day on Saturday. Boo.
Got moved to that day up there.
Come on.
Really?
Boo.
Wait a minute, there's a work day.
I thought you guys wanted to be at church.
You have work day at your place on Saturday, correct?
Oh, yeah, it's
going to
be fun. So come on up.
Taping and muddy.
Come on up. Come help. Come join. I got
two,
plenty of work to do. I
got 2 acres to mow.
I got a quarter acre to mow.
Wait, can I mow a baby?
The work day is moved, actually.
Because right now I'm into getting ready for grandkids to the beach, you know?
All right, how about this man over here, since he's so pushy, he should lead us into the morning Bible study announcements.
Just trying to help you out,
Happy birthday to you.
Did they put their hands in?
They're going to
struck you out.
Now
I freak out.
May 11th.
And for the work day.
Oh.
Yeah, for the new work day, you know? So,
May the 4th is tea time for the lady.
Yeah, may the Lord be with you guys.
Star Wars Day.
No, it's the Lord's Day. It's
right.
May the Lord be with you. I remember that's been what he said.
Okay, Corinthians 13:13.
Men and women's breakfast Bible study.
On the 27th, correct? So, that's what we got to look for this month, is a men and women's Bible study.
And May 4th is women's tea.
Yep.
Or did I get canceled?
Jordan's
nope,
got
it's there.
Nacho fries.
Okay.
The nacho fries.
It's a dream of VBS that's still going on.
And then I think that's all the announcements, right?
I think that's
there's
it.
There's still time for to get your movie nominations in. You know, it's going to be like the Oscars. We're all going to sit here. Everyone who's put a thing in, they're going to hold up like an award. They're going to say, I'd like to thank the Academy, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, no, my movie got
it
was terrible.
I'm going to like this night.
Nice.
I'm going to go up there to get the award and just trip and fall on my face.
what's it called?
Well, if you get rude, I may come up and slap you.
Come back. Go in the kitchen.
The Will Smith.
Yeah. I was trying to remember that. So I think you got until the second or the third week of May, and then the fourth week of May is when we decide what's being played.
Okay.
So you can either stick around as we figure it out, or you can just wait till the results are over and you know you can see them on the board. You know what I mean?
My name got voted down
before we left.
Well, I mean,
there's two Roman.
Two Roman? Oh, I don't know. Spartacus? Not enough Christian?
No, it's just that very horrific period of time.
But yeah, so, with that being said, I think we can get started, yes?
Yeah.
Yes, we will pray in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this wonderful place, Lord, and we thank you for all the wonderful things that you do in our lives, Lord. You're so great. And we can't thank you enough for all the things that you continually to do. Thank you for letting us be a spectator in this game of life, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, we come before you and we ask that you forgive us for our sins while we get ready to jump in your word, Lord. Help us learn not from what we want, but what from you want, from what you want us to learn, Lord, so that we do your will and not ours, Lord. Bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is that what you tried?
No.
Made your nose cry?
No, my nose cried. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
I don't know, you tell me.
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I know someone who does.
I know what we're in not right
what?
Now.
You
have 25?
33.
22?
I think we're in Corinthians 13:13.
Oh, yeah. I think Jacob's right on that. No, I think we made it to 16.
We're 15:13.
15:33 to 41 is what we're on.
Oh, man.
The death of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Mm-hmm. Don't come to that. Okay, at first I told her the wrong verse too, and then I was like, oh wait.
It's called baby brain.
I need to get this right.
That's what happens when, like, you know, like I read over it like six times thinking we're going to get through like three sections, and I read it over and over and over. Like, where am I?
Yeah, I ended up asking one question and I attacked the whole study.
All right, so.
The whole study, you didn't do nothing.
I just said I asked a question.
All right.
That's all I did.
So. We are in 1 Corinthians 13:13.
Yeah.
And what does it say, Cyrus?
Cyrus is like, put down the chips as fast as I can.
What kind of a sixth grader is that?
Yours?
Do they still call on you at school like that?
Yeah,
right.
All of a sudden out of nowhere?
Hope and love.
They didn't mean it.
But the greatest of these is love.
What did you get from that? The greatest of those were love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what do we use that for? Can we read Mark all the time?
So we can find those things in Mark.
You're my hero.
There you go.
You're my hero.
There we go. So we left off in Mark 15.
Love is the greatest, not Muhammad.
Yeah, isn't that a quote he says?
Really?
Yeah, it's like one of the most
human keys to say.
It's actually Houston, I think, rap songs and stuff.
Yeah.
Alright, so. Does anybody want to lead us today? Or do you guys want to hear my boring voice?
I love your boring voice.
What happened?
If they say your voice, they're going to mock the whole time.
You like Beeler?
Yes.
Voodoo economics. All right, 33, yes? So we're slowing down her name.
I don't even know what movie.
Darkness came over the whole land and all the
All right, verse 33, everyone here? Ready? All right, cool. It says, at noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to take him, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and the younger, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and
Salome.
In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had came up with him to Jerusalem were also there. What'd you guys get from that? Anyone like filled with excitement? Like, I gotta share something tonight? Come on, teach me.
Teach me.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, is it? What do you think about the darkness?
What's that?
What do you think about the darkness?
I mean, how the clouds came
oh,
over
God.
At 3 o'clock?
Yeah, yeah, the whole land got dark.
The darkness got new day.
That's why the Romans, that Roman guy said, oh, he was the son of God.
Oh, was a priest.
All heck is going to break loose.
For my Bible, for 37, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And for 39, it says, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man is the son of God.
Yeah, Luke well, just said he breathed his last.
Lord, to you, I commend my soul. I commend my spirit.
Mine said, my God, why have
yes.
you abandoned me?
I have a question for everyone here. Is why does it say that the centurion, why did the centurion stand there and say that surely this was the Son of God?
Because of the things that were taking place.
Well, he's at the Christ. He's at Jesus, right? And Jesus has just cried out and gave up his soul. He doesn't hear about the curtain being torn or anything like that. He just sees what just happened at the cross. So why did he say that?
Maybe he witnessed a bunch of crucifixions and saw that Jesus, there's something different about Jesus. He had strength about him. Maybe.
We could find out in Matthew.
I think so too.
Not this room.
It is finished.
Yeah, see, that's why Cyrus, I love you.
I have a question. My question is, okay, when Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Ooh.
That's important.
Very important.
You know
that.
What do you think it means?
The curtain was like. The curtain was like
come on,
18
us,
inches
like,
thick, like two,
I think is
almost
when he
2
died,
feet
it
thick.
The,
it was a thick
the,
court,
the,
curtain.
What do you think
woven.
It means?
So it was like a
why is the curtain door. Mentioned?
Because that's
a curtain.
Separation.
Ooh, separation
of what?
Cyrus has something.
But go.
Moth
go
for rules in Christ.
Oh. Oh.
I don't know what the word
you just said.
I did it.
What's another root?
I was so excited.
I know, I was thinking, I was going to say, out of the mouth of babies.
It's impossible without some tooling to cut. Mm-hmm.
But it just automatically tore in two.
Well, what do you think it means?
Well, I'm just thinking.
Do you know what?
It signifies that there's
so badly,
that we can go straight to God. Like, it's the vision that was there is no longer there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's exactly it.
It's a veil to the Holy of Holies, right? The Holy of Holies is where the high priest went once a year and offered sacrifices for the sins of the whole land, for all the people. And he even had to go in. A lot of times they went in with a string on their foot or with bells. Whoa. Because if they weren't holy, they would be struck down. Because you couldn't go in there unless you were holy. And they had to sanctify themselves first before going in.
And
but,
how do you do that? Hmm? Anyone know how to do that?
Sanctify yourself?
Yeah.
It was offerings and...
Well, it was the steps that were laid out in Leviticus. There was like a process that you had to do.
Yeah, you had to...
You had to sanctify yourself and... In front of the Lord, which is a representation of you. Spend time with the Lord.
So nobody else could go in there except for the high priest, and that was the place where the sacrifice went for sins, for the sins of the whole world. And so this being torn, now this Holy of Holies is open to all, because now all can come before the throne. Because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the presence, they say the presence of God was, you know, at the altar. And so we can come before that altar because Christ opened that door. Am I spoiling it for you?
That makes sense.
And I believe it's in Exodus.
Exodus what?
Well, it's somewhere in the end of Exodus where it talks about the creation of this curtain.
Yeah, I'm reading it.
And when you read it, it's pretty crazy because it's like woven with gold and all these different linens.
2630?
There you go, 2630. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's insane.
Matthew. Exodus.
Because it creates this huge tapestry that's extremely thick and extremely large.
I got 20 and 2630.
Yeah.
2630.
With nobody tearing it, it just automatically did it.
I don't think anyone physically could tear that.
That's what I was going to say. It just seemed like it was just...
Not with bare hands. Wasn't it an earthquake that happened?
Yeah.
That's why I take
I'm at Matthew 27.
Because there was 27:50.
Because
of what? 27.
Huh? 20, Matthew 27:50. 5-0.
27:50.
Matthew 27:50. Yeah. Should we go on, please? 27. Oh, I can go. I can back up to. Is that 45? Yeah.
Yeah.
Little,
no, it's 43.
Little numbers again, right? The fives and threes look close.
You're going to go to 45?
Yeah,
sure,
back up to
45.
45.
You sure
mess with me. I can see this. It's 45. Right? I know. I need to. They do make a super giant print. But it's hard to find an 84. This is a giant print. Anyway, so. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice.
But Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani.
Oh, that's a different one, though.
Which means...
This is Eli, Eli.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The other which one was means, Eloi, Eloi.
Yeah.
Eloi,
Eloi. Eloi, Eloi. It's spelled Eloi, the same.
Eloi. Is it?
No.
Yeah, E-L-O-I. E-L-O-I.
This one says Eli, Eli.
This one says
E-L-I.
Yeah, that's
fine.
My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? When those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran up and got a sponge. He filled it with the wine vinegar, put it to a stick, and offered it for Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. The earth shook and rocks split. Oh. The tombs broke open and bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion saw and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Many women were watching from a distance. They followed Jesus. They followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
So
there's a little bit more to it.
Well, I mean, yeah, in definition, but yeah.
See, the reason why I had us read that and after Mark was because now you see why the centurion and other guards who were standing there said these things, because there's more that just happened. Yeah. Other than just the curtain tearing and Jesus giving up his spirit.
Nobody ever, they never crucified nobody and all that happened before.
Exactly. And when you see all this happening, like, I mean, rock splitting just because some guy died, of course you're going to say, surely this was the Son of God.
Even darkness coming over the land, too. Maybe there was an eclipse out there.
What?
Probably. Who knows?
Conspiracy theories.
Wasn't there in one account of this that when he tasted the wine vinegar thing that he spit it out?
Or he refused it. or something.
That was in Mark, wasn't it?
The first time.
Is that Paul too?
When he was first put onto the crosses in the
Jordan,
in
Exodus.
That area.
Exodus 26:30.
Yes, I thought it was Catherine.
Mm-hmm, Catherine.
Now,
no, they spit on him.
A what?
Now, is there any reason to why it says that he gave up his spirit
for this purpose?
Oh.
Well, no, didn't he tell them, you cannot take my life, I give it up willingly?
Right.
Exactly, because death can't hold life. It has no power over life. And so, along with that, Jesus had to give up his spirit in order for him to die. And that's exactly what happened here, is he gave up his spirit in order that prophecy and everything would be fulfilled, that we would have a chance at being with the Lord.
Hello, Roger.
Hello, Roger. Something on your neck or back?
So what else we got in here?
You guys ever read Psalms 22?
Yep, that's where I was going to take us.
It's really
sick. Yo, holy wood.
There's actually a couple places.
Hopefully going back
to
one.
Psalm.
Where are we at?
Psalm 22.
Psalm 22?
I don't teach anybody anything.
But the Lord teaches three.
That'll work.
You're like, I'll accept that.
Everything has to be color coordinated.
I just share what's on the menu.
Oh, I like
All right, everyone in Psalm 22?
All Psalm 22?
Yeah, let's just read the whole thing. Okay. Let's take it out of context.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Keeping people caught up here.
No, you're good, you're good.
We got patience. I hope.
It says
22, a whole thing one?
Yeah.
Here we go. It says, Eloi, Eloi, lima shabbatani. Just kidding.
This is something different
at all.
Like, you just confused the old lady here. Whoa. And he's giving me the
that was just an Aramaic. I'm sorry. Sorry, I confused the languages. You know what I mean? Sorry.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
He's like, I'm done.
It says, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of the dead. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You fear the Lord, praise him. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise. In great assembly, before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will knee before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
It's funny how David writes all that, but none of that happened to him.
And the Jews, if the Jews know the word and the song, they know the words.
Yeah,
and they know his words.
It would have been those words that he said. It's like when you go through troubles, and you have to like remind yourself of something in the scripture, you know. But I think the beauty of it is that when he said those words, the people who were there and they knew the scripture of the psalm, they go, "Man, this is
head
a
on.
Real deal. This just happened."
Because it was already written a long
time
ago.
Yeah, this was written a long time ago. You know?
Pretty cool. I wonder if anybody in the moment was realizing what was unfolding in front of them. Like, you know, somebody who was...
Well, I'm sure, because not only it was written down,
mm-hmm.
right? So somebody had to recognize it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And usually when Jesus speaks, he's speaking from someone's heart,
mm-hmm.
right? He's answering the heart of a person instead of just answering them the way it's answered that some people would see, right? That's why when he goes to the Pharisee at some point and he says, like, he spoke straight out of, like, he read my thought kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? In one of them, I forget which part it was, but... he usually spoke from the heart. So... about somebody who was there, right? It usually was to affect the person in front of them. So, I don't know. I just thought, did you guys know about this song? The My God, why have you forsaken me?
I've heard of it, but I've never actually read them in tandem, so I never knew.
You give the Psalms every Sunday.
I know.
Actually, every other Sunday.
But then, I read it before, and I was like, "Yeah, this stuff didn't happen to David." So you know, it's definitely prophetic, you know, and everyone that knew him knew it was a prophecy of some sort. But look, I'm certain there were people in those days that studied the scriptures and all the prophecies of the Messiah and wondering, you know, trying to search for the time, and I think there was some that knew, because you know when Herod went and asked him, well, where's the Messiah supposed to come from, and they told him Bethlehem, you know, and so then that's when Herod sent them to Bethlehem to kill all the firstborn, you know, or all the males 2 years
yeah.
2 years old and younger, I mean. So just like today, how people are studying Revelation, right, and trying to predict, you know, I think that was going on then too, you know, because if they had a calendar that they didn't have to interpret, right, and they could have counted the days from the
book of Daniel
and Daniel and knew.
That's why he always referenced himself as the Son of Man, because that was a reference that was made in Daniel.
Yeah, me and Jacob taught my one when I was pretty sick.
Yeah.
It was a prophecy of everlasting change.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there were people that knew. Sure, there were a lot of people. Like, even when he was born, how many people knew? This is the savior of the world, you know? The people in the temple, the high priest that year, or who was serving, it was John's dad. Was it John? Yeah, John's dad. He was serving, and he saw the angel standing at the throne, you know, and so he was given a vision. When Jesus went to get circumcised and went up to the temple when he was, what was it, the sixth day? I don't know. Anyway, there was a guy that was told that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Messiah, you know, and there was a lady there too that said the same thing in prophecy. And so
is that
in
Luke?
I think so.
That Luke is Matthew. The only gospel that really goes in the depth in the beginnings, stages, you know.
Yeah, Luke or Matthew.
I'm pretty sure it was Luke.
So there were lots of people that have been reading and known, you know, and seeing the signs. They had to have known.
Surely this is the Son of God.
And Jesus always told them too, this prophecy has to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And when he did something, he was telling them that it wasn't just supposed to happen, things like that, you know. And, that, and even in his death, it was another prophecy fulfilled.
Yeah.
David was a prophet, actually.
Yeah, it's gotta be in. Gotta be in Luke.
So why would Jesus say then, my God, why have you forsaken me?
It says it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Prophecy.
It's to remind the people of what the scriptures say. There's so many times where, like, he says something and it's straight scripture. Mm-hmm. So many times. Just might as well just open up Deuteronomy half the time. It's right there.
Even at the end of Psalm 22, you see it ends with hope.
Yep.
Yeah, he's begging for help, and then it does help him. And you get to Acts, it will say that, or Hebrews, that he cried and begged for help, and then he was heard because God didn't let his body see decay,
right,
or left it or left the soul in debt. But he raised him from the dead.
You know where that is at in Acts?
What?
Do you know where it's at?
Somewhere.
You want to take it there? I would love to go there. Acts is amazing.
Yeah, I think it's Acts 2.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
I have a new Bible. Okay?
You
I just want to read this a little bit for you.
Okay.
Yep. Now it was a man.
Okay.
Where's it at?
The way is open. It is in Mark, where we just got through reading about the curtain and everything.
Okay.
Okay. It says, a heavy curtain hung in front of the most holy place, a room in the temple reserved by God for himself. And the curtain symbolically separated the holy God and his sinful people. The high priest entered the room only once a year on the Day of Atonement, when he made a sacrifice to purify the people from their sins. This purification made the way of God's presence to remain with his people for another year. When Jesus was killed, the curtain was torn into, showing that his death for our sins opened the way for us to approach our holy God. The curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, affirming that this was the act of God, not an accident. From the moment, complete explanation of this, see in Hebrews 9. So we can go to Hebrews 9 and it'll continue to tell you more of an explanation of why the curtain was split in two.
Oh, I'm already there.
Oh, cool. Is that where you already at? Hebrews
9? No, we weren't in Hebrews 9. We were in Psalm 22.
I thought you guys went to Luke. Did you go to Luke?
No, I think we were about to go to Luke.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, the guy that prophesied, or that was told, his name was Simeon. And he was at the temple when Jesus was presented on the eighth day of circumcision. He was told by, I'll just read a couple verses of it.
And I'm sure you want to know where it is. It's Luke 2, verse. Wait, I got this. Verse 25.
Luke 2, verse 25.
You are going to stay with 25, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. Goes on and talks about the daughter Anna too that had been there. But this is people knew.
Oh, I'm more married to you. I see it's pretty bomb. We're looking for something in the axe.
Can we read that one?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Where are we going?
We're going to Hebrews 9 first.
Okay. Hebrews 9.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We're going to Hebrews 9.
Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. You almost have to read this whole chapter.
Yeah.
This whole chapter is ridiculous.
I was reading. I got through like the first half.
Special if you just got done reading like Exodus. This is.
Oh, okay.
It's so good.
It goes pretty much right out.
It's like almost word for word. Six. Verses of Exodus.
Yeah, Hebrews 9. It's pretty.
Okay.
Pretty awesome.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. It says, now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the tables with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had a golden altar of incense and a gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the priest's present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. You guys get what that says?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect.
Now let's get into the...
Hold on. There's some thinking going on.
Gear's turn.
Good job.
Good catch. That wasn't very good.
Yeah, I could tell.
What's the matter?
Are you good?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
so far,
kind of sort of.
Kind of sort of?
I'm rereading it.
She was rereading.
I'm rereading it.
Uh-huh.
I have
Any questions?
I have the study Bible and I have the regular Bible and I'm just mixing them.
Yeah, no worries.
So
does it make sense to you? Shall
it,
we?
It kind of does, but
well, we don't
want to
move on until we understand it, right?
Well, yeah, but
which part are you confused on?
Oh, okay. Let me see. Okay, the part where it says only the priests were able to go in there regularly, all by themselves. But they did any sacrifices in there?
It says that they only went
the outermost area.
Yeah, the outer, not the inner.
Okay, okay. And then it said the priest regularly entered the first room. That's
yes,
that's the outer room.
That's
right?
The outer room.
Okay, and they performed the religious duties. But on the high priest entered the most holy place, it was once a year.
Once yes. a year.
Once a year.
Yes.
Right.
And it says never without the shedding of blood.
At that once a year
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yom
there was
Kippur.
A Day of Atonement.
That's
what
it was called.
Okay.
Yom Kippur, that's in the... That's when Gaza attacked Israel last year on Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it does.
Now, in Hebrews 8, it talks about Jesus being a high priest.
Yeah,
not
we
just
have a high priest.
But forever, always. And he stands before God, always making intercession for us.
Oh, let me write that down.
Cool, right?
Hebrews 8.
I've seen somebody explain it by getting like an index card. And like crumpling it up and saying like this would be us in the world, and then like they went to like get the creases out and saying like when you accept Christ into your life, like you still have your creases and stuff like that, but when you stand in front of God, and like he grabbed another index card and was like, but this is Christ standing in front of you, like interceding and stuff like that, or whatever. It was kind of just like trying to show like a physical representation and whatnot. It was pretty cool representation to see.
I really like what verse 9 says. It says, this is an illustration for the present time. So what they were doing before was just to show you what was to come,
mm-hmm.
right? Whatever they were doing wasn't actually doing what they thought it was doing. It was just an illustration of what the present time is doing now, right? Indicating that the gift.
So when he was on earth, he was the actual sacrifice, and now he's the high priest, right? Is what you're saying?
Right.
Or
so
what? Or is he both?
Well, he's talking about like that it was foreshadowed. Like
yeah, this was just a foreshadowing of what was happening. Ooh. What they were doing was a representation of what was to come.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about now.
Now
when,
it's...
And when he died. When he died, he was a sacrifice, right?
Right. That one time.
Yeah, that one time. Exactly.
Right.
And now he is forever the high priest.
Forever the high priest,
right?
Right? There's no
okay.
need to go in there once a year and do the same thing.
I just want to make sure I didn't say something wrong to her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, And what they were doing was just, as it says in verse 10, they are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washing. It was like a tradition,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
External regulations applying until the time of the new order, and we are in that new order, right?
New age, the new generation.
Right? It says, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here. Do you remember what week it was?
It was the day
Passover, right?
Yeah. It was all symbolic. Everything fit
everything. It was like
the supper that he had and how they had. Yeah, everything fit into everything.
It was like so many things were going on and it all just landed on that same time.
Mm-hmm. When he came into Jerusalem, it was the day that the Israelites selected the lamb for the offering.
Isn't that so
pretty powerful?
He couldn't plan it out if he tried.
And in the Old Testament, there's a scripture where God says, I'm the Lord, I declare the end before the beginning. Which, this is why things seem like they're going backwards, but they're not, they're going forwards. But God already knew what was coming, you know?
Yeah, it's already written.
It's beautiful. It's crazy.
He just decided to show us it so that we could trip out on it when it happened.
Like the prophecies, right?
Yeah.
When you see it happen, you're like, oh, dang.
You're like, dude,
something
Lord, you
real
did it again.
Something real is happening.
I wanted to say something about this Joseph. Was he Sanhedrin? Or was that Nicodemus? Both of them. Because in John 19:39, it talks about that Nicodemus was part of him taking Jesus and burying him.
Right.
So
it probably is
Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah. So it's crazy to me because these guys saw Jesus in secret.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet they went out publicly and asked for the body. When the disciples publicly followed Jesus, but went and hid.
But privately.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy, right?
Two drastic
opposites. What do you think
it means?
Well, no, it just goes to show you that Jesus was inside them. Like, they were just like, no, we're not gonna.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jesus really ministered to them.
There was one point where Nicodemus stood up when the Sanhedrin, when they were talking about Jesus and what to do with him, and he said something like, you can't, you know, unjustly accuse a man. And I can't remember what they said. Look it up for yourself. Oh, you know, a prophet doesn't come from, you know, Nazareth.
He said, are you one of his disciples also?
Yep, he said that, yeah.
He said, I think God comes out of
Nazareth.
Yeah, so that was just crazy. Two people that saw Jesus in secret publicly came and asked for his body. One of the disciples who publicly followed him were hidden.
Yeah. Yeah, you think, because they were in jeopardy of losing their high position too, their authority.
But they didn't care.
You know, that was powerful. We watched The Chosen when Nicodemus, he wanted to follow, but his wife didn't want to give up her position. And you know, there was some of that with him. And he was crying because Jesus
calm down.
It wasn't in the Bible, follow me. But Jesus knew, or Nicodemus knew, you know, and the guilt and, you know, the hurt. Because he knew who he was. And even at the end, he knew who he was.
Didn't he write the sign, the king of the Jews?
No, that was Pilate. No,
Pilate had that written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, found it here. Pilate did.
What I like about that is, like, authority that was given by God wrote that sign.
Right.
Right? Not the authority of the Jews who think they have authority because they're God's people. No, the authority that was given by God, right? They were suppressed. The Jews were suppressed by the Romans, which the authority was Roman, right? And the people who have authority are given that authority by God. And the fact that that Roman, not being anything of a Jew, wrote that sign in three different languages is what I think is remarkable about that part.
That's the Lord for you.
Shall we go on with Hebrews?
Heck yeah.
All right, where were we?
11.
All right. It says, but when Christ came as a high priest of good things that are now already here, right, the age we live in, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of
the... If the blood.
Oh, well, where did I... Where is
13.
The
blood.
13.
13? Sorry.
No, 13 just says the blood.
Of goats and bulls.
Hold on, let me just read the whole verse. It might be like, you know, nearly inspired version, you know what I mean?
You know, I've heard that so many times.
The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Should say if, huh? Mm-hmm. How much more then? That is weird. That does not say if.
He probably thinks it. Draw it in.
Oh, that's weird.
If. You're correcting your own Bible.
Right? That's why it feels weird. You write it in. Verse 13.
When says the blood?
Yours says the blood? Because you're saying.
The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean.
Oh, I think it's just explaining what the blood does. and then it says how much more.
There you go.
Then we're just, look at us focusing on one verse. Sound like hypocrites.
Are those high priests?
How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse the consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Dang, what's a mediator? You guys know?
Go between.
Yeah.
A go-between.
A go-between?
Yeah. That's what I call it, is sure. Someone who sure. mediates from one person to
what are they
another.
Doing now?
He's a coupling.
Communicate.
Right. He's a coupling for conduit.
Mm-hmm.
Puts the two pieces together.
There you go.
Can I read a scripture?
One's
for that
God and the
yeah,
other
send
one's
it, send it.
My favorite scripture. All right, First Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
And that was, once again, for everybody?
First Timothy 2:5.
One mediator.
Yeah.
One mediator. All right, back to it.
One
yes.
mediator.
There's one mediator. So, like, there's. I'm not going to get into that.
You sure you don't want to get into it?
It's,
it sounds like you want
to well,
get into it.
Well, kind of, I did, but you know what? There's only one you go to seek God, and that's Jesus.
Yes.
There's only one.
Oh, I see what you mean by get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's not get into it. We'll just start sinning. We don't want to do that.
Right.
All right.
But I want to get into it.
I'm just kidding. All right, verse 15, ready? It says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves, together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, this is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep. Dang, these, you know, like, that's something you gotta, like, that's like a deeper power when you grow up and you're taught all this stuff. And then, like, when you come to the realization of who Christ is and you just get it, you know, like, you get it, like, you understand it from the roots of it, you know, like, your whole culture is, like, built around it.
The blood of the covenant.
In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Yeah, Mike said there's no forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just said that. That there is no forgiveness.
Yeah, twisting up the words.
It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. The way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he had appeared once for all the accumulation of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen, huh?
Amen.
Sure you don't want to just keep reading?
No, because we'll go to the end. I promise you.
I do.
It only gets better.
That's the tricky part about the Bible.
That's one of those books that just, you keep reading and keep reading and keep reading.
I know, I love all the way to the end. From right there to the end. Might as well. Maybe we could just study
Hebrews. No, I'm kind of curious about Revelation now.
Cyrus says,
I want to know. I know what happened. We win. Well, God wins, but we're on his side, so we win.
Go Dodgers.
Right.
Dodgers win, but we're on their side.
That's
so
all
we win.
All right. Ready?
Okay, where
are
we at?
We came back to Mark. You got any questions?
Mm-hmm.
You got any questions over there, Leah? No? You're just listening? You're just ready to move on?
Cyrus would like to know when we're going to finish Mark.
I mean,
good question, Cyrus. I like
Tuesday.
That question, young man.
Probably Tuesday or Thursday.
Okay, probably next Tuesday.
It's more than likely one of those days.
Yeah, one of those Tuesdays and Thursdays.
17 minutes, get your prayers in. Get your prayers in.
All right, next.
You guys ready to move on? You guys ready to break through the chapter? You break through the veil that just got split in half? You guys on the edge of your seats like I am? No?
Whatever.
Yeah, I can tell. All right, you ready? Verse 42, here we go.
Where are we at now?
42?
Mark 42.
Mark 42.
Oh, sorry, I read ahead. I thought we had read all that.
It's all good.
It's okay.
I read ahead. Sorry.
All right, you guys ready for this? It says,
yes, we're ready.
It was preparation day. That is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate, and asked Jesus for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I think it's pretty cool. Was it one person rolling the rock in front of the cave?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it...
I don't think so. That rock is like a
huge
rock.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never
that
seen
was
it.
Sealed.
Is it big?
It's big.
Huh?
It's a boulder.
Yeah.
I barely know if there's any land outside of the United States. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, William.
She said that. She said, who's gonna move the rock for us? Actually, that's a spoiler. It's coming up.
Stop reading
stuff.
Ahead like I did.
All right, so
another gospel talks about that. As John talks about Nicodemus went with Joseph.
Yeah. Did you guys get anything from that? You guys want to point out something crazy? You guys want to point out something not crazy?
Well, that was my craziness.
Yeah, what you were saying. Yeah, I think it did. It pointed out that. I like that, what they stated about, Joseph of Arimathea,
mm-hmm.
a man who was on the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? and
a prominent member.
A prominent member, someone who had status, who didn't care, old.
Yeah.
You know.
That's crazy to me. That just goes to show when you think you're standing, you can fall.
Right.
As the disciples who were with him every day, I'm sorry, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it could be their high position too, you know. Even though you may be afraid to lose it, you're still in a high position to say something.
Yeah, he had some type of authority to the council, right? He was a high member of the council, mm-hmm. so a prominent member, someone who all the council members looked up to. So whatever he said went, pretty much. You know what I mean? And it was probably very politically hyperpolarized what was going on too in the culture. Because how they were getting people to chant certain things.
Right.
You know, people, Joseph, right?
Yes. Well, just what was going on, right?
Right.
So this guy had some type of status.
Right.
Right? The disciples were nobodies.
Right.
Right? They could say anything they want and,
when it says Joseph,
no one would know.
Arimathea.
Yeah. It said,
what you want? It said the prominent member of the council was himself waiting for the kingdom of God and boldly to Pilate and ask for Jesus' body. So he had to be somebody in the higher up in order to get the body from Pilate.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone who could get the body from Pilate.
Not just anybody could get him, just, you know, had to
John,
be high-priest.
John also puts it in John 20:38. I'm just going to read a couple, you don't need to turn. But later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. They took the body. They took Jesus' body, and the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen in accordance with Jewish burial customs. Anyway, so, yeah, these two stood up and took it. I wanted to go. I also, there's two other mentions of Nicodemus. One's John 3:1.
Mm-hmm.
It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He went to Jesus that night. So I just wanted to bring that up to explain him. And also in John 7, it says that they're talking about his unbelief, or the Jewish leaders' unbelief. They just sent some guards to the feast and to bring him back. And at John, it's 7, I think that's a 3, 40, 45.
John 7:45
says, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. You mean he deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Has any of the rulers or any of the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it. You'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah. So, like, Nicodemus did stick up for him a few times. I'm sure Joseph had stuck up a few times if he had, you know, was brave enough to go before Pilate and ask for the body. Because definitely he's going to be found out.
Why did Pilate could not believe that Jesus was already dead at that time? I mean,
it takes days to die.
So
yeah. And that way, you die faster than break your legs.
So he was shocked that he went.
Right.
According to those time, he was gone.
Yeah.
Like
well,
that
goes to show you that he had say over his own life.
Yeah,
period.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He said when he was going to die.
Oh, yeah, it's just another.
And they break your legs so you suffocate.
Yeah, that's
it,
what they
and
did.
And it talks about it in
the other two that were hung.
Yeah.
They broke their.
Because he didn't elaborate. I knew that he was, you know, the pilot couldn't believe that Jesus was
dead.
Yeah.
So that kind of
but
like,
yeah,
okay.
It does say
so,
that.
So
yeah.
So Jesus has given us control of his, but he was.
And then says it gave
us
control.
He gave
it.
He was
control
of his.
That's why it's always.
And you can cross that in a few others, a few other gospels, where they went back because it was Passover and they didn't want anyone hanging on the crosses at Passover, so they were going to take them down. And they went to and they broke the legs of the two criminals, but he was already dead. So they pierced his side, and when water and blood came out, they saw he
was
already dead. And
yeah,
and that none of his bones were broken.
So they said, you know, they said he was already.
But they wanted to break the legs so that they couldn't run away when they took him.
But he was the only one that they didn't because he died at when he said he was going to die and the others weren't dead yet when they were there.
Right, yeah, right.
Well, they break their legs so because what happens, you're hanging there and your feet are keeping you to breathe. When they break your legs, you sink and you suffocate. So you die faster.
Exactly.
Because your lungs collapse.
Yeah.
Well, they were of your arms.
They were professional killers.
They
did. They
created the crucifixion.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been perfected over hundreds of years before that.
I like what Laura said. It makes so make sense.
Yeah.
Pilot. That was the right.
She's got some good ones.
Yeah.
Not me. The Bible.
The book.
The book.
I agree.
The book. Yeah. That it was. No one controlled his life but him.
Yeah.
Him and the Lord God.
Well, I meant, yeah, he was making them
see
that, but he says, I give it up willingly.
Willingly, yeah.
Because it wouldn't have, if he didn't want to, he didn't have to.
Shall we finish?
Didn't we finish?
Shall we finish, finish?
Mm-hmm.
No, you gotta keep Dad's prophecy right.
It is Tuesday or Thursday.
No, you blew Finnish Mark.
Well, I mean, there's only 8 verses left. Well, I guess there's 20,
no,
but
there's
it
no,
depends
yeah.
on depends on where you think it stops.
So
it depends on which manuscript you're looking at.
20. Okay, well, I already asked everybody. We all have the 20 over here.
20.
Does yours cut off at 9?
I said no.
Most of them stop at 8.
Because it's going to...
Well,
it's going to make us rush it and...
Yeah, let's enjoy. All
right.
Enjoy the ride, man.
Well, you guys have to catch us early now.
Does yours say this?
That some scripts do not have.
Mm-hmm.
Some manuscripts don't have.
Yes.
The
yeah.
Yeah.
All the Bibles.
Okay.
What, 16?
No, 9 through 20.
It
says the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have those. 9 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
9 through 20.
So it was added. Come down, Mike.
You,
you
have
it? Do
it. King James Version?
Well, it's like Mm-mm. Well, it was around long before those, you know what I mean? So I just see like 500. So
what's the oldest? What's the oldest manuscript that we have?
The oldest one that we have, I don't know, but it's a copy.
The copy?
It's a copy.
The Dead Sea Scrolls, but those weren't.
No, it's
those
the Vatican.
Were, yeah.
It's been to the Vatican since the 15th.
Those aren't the letters.
Yeah. You don't trust anything? I agree. They say they got so much stuff, and I don't believe it.
Play in English. I'm just grateful we have
in
English.
Well, the oldest manuscripts we don't have in English.
Yeah, they're in, like, Greek and...
No, the oldest
Hebrew.
One's in Latin.
I just think the guys that did it 500 years ago, that they had better stuff, you know? More
yeah, I think they had
more knowledge.
They had papyrus. I bet you it was more than this paper.
So, but that one doesn't have the resurrection at all?
It does. It's the first 9 verses, or 8 verses.
Mine has.
They don't have the weird stuff that gets out after.
Oh, yours doesn't.
Your no, his does. Does, but it's just a.
It's just a talent.
Went outside. Who got
weird stuff?
I'm sure it's true.
Well, some of it's good, but then...
I'm sure if you keep in context with the whole thing, you don't focus on the weird
right,
stuff.
Right,
as, like, a single verse. Like some
thing.
People do. Like,
it's just,
like, there's sects of, like, Christianity that, like, literally just play with snakes. And,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and drink
it's they take
poison. Things, it's like...
Yeah,
they
yeah exactly.
Right.
You know, like, not even joking. Like, there's documentaries about it.
They're like, bet.
Right, exactly.
Was taken, I think some of it was taking acts out of context when Paul got bit by a viper.
You know. If it's God's will that you don't die.
I think I just learned that's what the medical scientist with that
oh, yeah.
that staff with the snake around it.
The ones who look at it become healed?
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's in Exodus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but they
the
were
bronze,
told to look up. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
look at
the bronze snake
the
around
snakes,
the cross.
Yeah. But I never knew. I told my sister, I said, why does back of the ambulance have that staff with the serpent around it? So then she told me. I was like, oh, okay.
All right. Well,
because of
Moses.
Yeah, that's what she told me. Prayers.
Oh, I need to read that book again. I forget it all the time.
Joe says Latin is considered a dead language.
Bet.
Let's make it alive again.
Yeah. Joe says Latin.
I
want to
go learn it.
Considered a dead language.
Teach me.
Well, we use it in scientific journals all the time.
Right.
What?
For
okay.
Journal.
We're ending now, right?
Yeah, we're doing further
okay,
now.
So I got to get play at home. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep our meds.
Okay.
Got to get
home. She just will panic. She's my mom.
Isn't that a good thing, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what she said? I lived my whole life with he goes to pieces.
Why you been doing that?
I'm falling to pieces.
I like that guy,
man. Somebody put me together.
I'll give you the rubber bullets to go.
Hey, back and forth. I'm swaying with the wind. So, Kathy had Jacob had a meeting yesterday, a hearing.
Yeah.
And we don't have the results yet, but it seems to be going favorably because the lady was gone for like 3 weeks. And she said that if she had known that that he has a surgery coming up, that this would have already been done.
Oh.
But since she didn't know, Kathy had to submit the stuff and just go through the process, but... It sounds really good though.
Good.
So.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And don't forget
beautiful.
Tina.
Ow.
Over here, Tina.
And we need to keep Tina in prayer.
So I heard Tina.
Tina and Jacob's thing.
And Jacob's. Okay. Mm-hmm. So honestly,
and I'm not going into detail, but sister Leah was worried and things came out solid.
All right.
Good.
We'll go forward.
Okay.
Forward, not backward.
Give it to God.
Amen.
Go.
That's how you do it.
And everything else, well, of course, I force him to fix that all as well.
There you go.
I get my way. How are you, little birdie? He's my little bird.
And I'll get with Kathy on that prayer chain for Tina.
Okay.
Okay. Please.
Tell her what you want on it.
I'll call Matt tonight on it.
Okay.
I feel like I haven't seen Matt in forever.
Mm, it says
I mean,
I talked to him a couple
Gina
times.
Needs
you don't even like me anymore.
She needs visitors.
He lives right across the street.
He does.
He had potato.
I need your help.
He had potato tacos last night.
Any other birds?
He's back. He got back Tuesday when he called.
He called during
Bible study. He was actually heading up. He dropped his mom off at Michelle first.
And we didn't get out there on the 7th because he was running late.
An easy day tomorrow for so I can catch up on emails, change orders, and submittals. Nice.
Smooth day Saturday.
And a productive day on Saturday.
What's that?
A productive day on Saturday. We can't let Matt over. He'll just talk to us.
Funny enough, he actually likes mudding, so maybe we'll be like, hey Matt, remember to the store real quick, we'll be right back. Sorry, the Jeep only sits soon.
But you'd be lying. You just fill the back up with the...
We just put more car seats in the back.
Yeah.
Fill it with the diaper wall. He'll never be able to get in.
Okay, I'm gonna keep doing that.
All right,
and I'll
go around the table.
I'll make
first.
The font even bigger next
time. Is she doing any better?
Coming up, Jordy.
Surgery coming up for two.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I have them down.
I got a new study Bible.
Got a really good one.
You bet, and bam.
It's
already
highlighting all good stuff.
Should be healed. In the name of Jesus. Prayers?
My daughter, Andrea.
I know.
Orlando! Prayers?
My name is always, brother.
He's just it, too.
Mm-hmm. Alright, I'll have to find that sheet. I have a lot back here.
Okay.
Second here. All right, I think it's this one.
Come on in.
All right, Jackie, prayers.
Just pray for me and Armando. Yeah.
Is it helping?
Amen. Just keep us.
Amen.
But is it help?
Pray for Jackie.
Just you know.
Because it looks like we need to get to the room.
Mm-hmm.
What, you guys in pain or something?
No. You just keep us, you know, lifted.
When you're doing great, you want to stay great.
Mm-hmm. Keeps us lifted. We get discouraged at times, but I know that's just the mind of the enemy. Mm-hmm. So we just need to stay lifted and just focus on God's work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And don't focus the chaos or the nonsense that around us. We just need to focus on Him because it's getting discouraged. We are getting discouraged and we just need to stay focused.
Yeah.
But God, the
Lord. Wait on the Lord.
To remind ourselves, we keep reminding ourselves that we have to do God's work. It's a miracle. God's doing the miracle in the work for us. But it's discouraging. So we just need to stay focused. Stay closer. Just keep us lifted.
Just wait. You're going to see
it. Just
keep
us lifted. Because,
when you ask for it, God decides to give it. So.
Yeah.
In His time.
Leah.
Hold on.
We got it. Leah.
Yes.
Prayers, Leah.
Prayers?
Not yet.
Gotcha.
They're coming.
Not yet, Blue.
Means they're coming, huh?
God is good.
Amen.
Cyrus, prayers.
Cyrus, prayers.
No? Nothing? How's your test?
I think it's going. I feel like I'm getting a 3 or 4, which is like the highest. My principal was saying I was doing good so far, though, on my testing.
Cool. So you want to stay in prayer about that, or are you good on that?
Think I'm good.
All right.
That wasn't
Mary.
Yo.
Prayers?
Tina.
I have her down.
Okay.
Any others?
There you go. Just to gather more people for Bible study and congregation here. I would love to have more people.
I would love to get a lot of people where we just split up in groups and then at the last like 15 minutes we all go over together.
Get together.
Dude, that's what we do at Young Adults. It is amazing.
I would like to.
It is so much fun. All right. Nick, Catherine, on prayers. Now? Stephen, prayers.
Just in the same sense for Mary, like for more, you know, more people, but more in the sense that like what we were talking about like the ones to come for the people that are here now to be prepared for that and ready. You know, just get the flesh out of this church and be in God's will completely.
That's a good one.
I've been praying that a lot recently, so.
We need a lot of God's will.
Amen.
Yep.
We really do.
Really do. That's why we focus on ourselves,
Nick,
changing ourselves.
Prayer.
That's why I focus on myself.
Yeah.
Nick needs prayer for work.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I'll put something in his lap or schooling or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have your hearing. Any others?
My surgery coming up.
Surgery. Yeah.
Well, it's coming up quick.
Mm-hmm. Real quick. Pretty soon.
May the 4th. And then with you on the 20th.
Oops, David.
And Dad, you got prayer?
I'm good.
What is that?
It's a quartz crystal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're good?
It's like what counts.
I'll no one but get God. But God.
God is good.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's a counter. It's a piece of a counter.
It's a counter.
It's a crystal. It has human power.
No. Get that blasphemy out of here.
Yeah, right?
It's shiny.
Yes, that's why I keep it. Jerry found it. No, Jerry gave it to me. That's why I keep it.
That's
pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a mineral? It's a crystal.
In the yard.
Mineral crystal.
I have a big hunk. Polish it,
huh?
Get nice.
Are we ready?
Polisher.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Okay, we'll get this back to you in just a minute.
No worries. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about prayer.
Thank you.
Being right with God first. Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for everything you're doing, Lord. And both this church and other churches, Lord, we just see your hand moving, Lord. And we ask that you would continue doing so, Lord. Continue being with this church, Lord. Continue having your spirit upon us, Lord, leading us and guiding us, and just help us to dig deeper into your spirit, Lord. Help us to completely put away the flesh, Lord, to cling to your spirit and to be one with your spirit, Lord, to be prepared for the time coming, Lord. We know you're working, and we know that you have plans that are bigger than anything else that this world has to offer, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we ask that you would prepare every person in this church, Lord, for what you are doing and what you have coming, Lord. Your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord. We ask that you would bring others, Lord, to this study, to this church, Lord, to this fellowship, Lord, with your spirit. We ask that you would bring them and fill this church up to where there's just standing room left, and even that's taken up, Lord. Just pour out upon this church, Lord. Bring the people and have us be prepared for that time, Lord. We ask that you would just keep us all safe as we go home today, Lord. Help us all to be in your spirit as we go home, to be in step with your spirit this rest of this week and into next week, Lord. Help us to put away our fleshly desires, to empty ourselves out and to be filled by you, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over Tina, Lord, that you would just continue having your blessings upon her, Lord. Continue just to be to be with her in these doctor's appointments, Lord, and just all of it, Lord. Just completely fill her with your spirit, Lord. Have her feel your spirit at all times, 24/7. Lord, just be with her so that she knows that she is not alone, even though no one's in the room, Lord. Make your presence known to her, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over my brother's hearing and surgery, Lord.
Lord, may the hearing have gone well, Lord, and what they find, that it would just be in Jacob's favor, Lord, that you would, that this would be your blessing upon him, Lord. We ask that you would just pour your spirit upon him and take away any anxieties that he may have about this surgery coming up. Remove anything that is not right, Lord. Anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, any of it, Lord. Remove it all from his mind and from his heart, Lord, so that he may be just filled by your spirit, Lord, and have peace during this time, Lord. You're a God of peace, not a God of fear. And Lord, we ask that you would just have your hand over the other Jacob. be with him both tomorrow, Lord, that he would just have an easy, clean day, that he would be able to get the jobs and things that he needs done, Lord. Just help him through tomorrow, Lord. Help him have your rest tomorrow, Lord. That even if things kick up a little bit, that he would still have your rest and peace over the entire situation. That you're making time and you're making everything about it for your will and your glory, Lord. We just ask your rest be upon him, Lord, and your peace be upon him, Lord. And we ask that you would just help him with Saturday, Lord. Help him get this mudding and this room finally done, Lord. Help him just to hammer the last things in. The mudding, the taping, the painting, all of it, Lord. Help him get it all done on Saturday, Lord. And help him to enjoy it, Lord. That it wouldn't be as stressful or anything like that, Lord, but it would just be an enjoyment. We ask your hand over Yvette, Lord, and everything going on with her, Lord. First off, heal her body, Lord. We declare it in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would just heal her, Lord. Just heal her from both down into the bone marrow, out to the skin of her body, Lord. Every single ligament, every muscle, every joint, Lord. Just heal her entire body to where there isn't a lick of cancer in her body, Lord. Heal her entirely, Lord. And we ask that you would have your peace poured out upon the family, Lord. Help them during this time. Just be with them, Lord. Help them know that your spirit is there through this time, Lord. Pour your blessing and spirit upon them, Lord. We ask your hand over Laura's daughter, Andrea, Lord, with whatever may be going on with her life, Lord. We just ask that you would be with her. Hold her hand, Lord. Just be with her and wrap your arms around her and help her to feel your presence entirely, Lord. If she's sick or hurting, Lord, then we ask that you would just fill her with your spirit and heal her, Lord. And if she just needs your spirit, we ask that you would pour it upon her in such a way that she would see it, Lord. That she would have no choice but declare that it is you, Lord. We ask your hand over Jackie and Orlando, Lord, that you would just be with them at all times, Lord. Strengthen them in your spirit, Lord. Help them to have no lick of doubt in their mind, Lord, that their entire focus would be upon you, Lord. That you would just take everything, all their attention, all their focus, all their time, Lord. That it would all be about you, and that there wouldn't even be time for the enemy to try to sneak in because they're just so focused on you, Lord. We ask that you would just pour your spirit upon their household, Lord, and their relationship together, Lord. We ask your hand over Nick and his work, Lord. We ask that you would just have your blessings upon him, Lord. Pour him out, Lord. Send him the correct job that is exactly for him, Lord. A job that's meant directly for him. One that he would enjoy, Lord, and that he would be treated fairly, Lord, and that he would be able to shine your light fairly, Lord. Nothing hindering him, Lord. We just ask that you would pour it out upon him, Lord. Pour your blessings and spirit upon him, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would just have your hand over Mary Jane. Just continue helping her, Lord. I know we were praying for a cold and to be gone and just all these infections and all these things out, Lord, and we see that it's gone, Lord, because she's here. No mask, nothing holding her back, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, and we ask that you would continue being with her, Lord. Continue healing her. Help her not to have a single headache no more, Lord. That it would be healed in your name, Lord.
We ask that you would continue to be with every part of this church, Lord. In Pastor Memo's life, Lord, just heal him, his body, Lord. Give him strength each day, Lord. Heal him entirely, Lord. And help his family to feel your peace and your comfort and your joy, Lord. That you correct anything that is not right in the hearts and the family, Lord, in relationships or anything, Lord. We ask your spirit upon their household, Lord, that it would just be in your will, Lord. And Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.